next on the 5 o'clock report.
We need more beds. We need more ventilators.
And that's not drama. That's fact.
The hospitals look like a war zone.
Through this crisis, people are coming much more into the reality of their own mortality.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good Friday afternoon. Welcome to our continuing coverage of the coronavirus crisis. The U.S. House has approved and President Trump has signed that $2.2 trillion rescue package to prop up the coronavirus-battered economy. Correspondent Bill Rakoff begins our coverage on Capitol Hill.
The motion is adopted.
A loud and bipartisan voice vote signaled the end of the sometimes rocky road for the legislation in Congress. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer.
This legislation represents a bipartisan resolve.
While a majority of Republicans joined Democrats in voting for the bill, a small group, including Colorado's Ken Buck, opposed the measure.
As President Trump said, we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself.
Lawmakers are already talking about what should be in a fourth relief package. Bill Rakoff, Washington.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo today ordering the closure of all schools until April 15th to stop the spread of coronavirus. Statewide, the infection rate has now topped 44,000, more than 500 deaths blamed on the bug.
We are battling a deadly virus. Is there an intrusion on daily life? Yes. Is there an intrusion on the economy? Yes. But what's on the other side of the scale is literally saving lives, and that's not drama. That's fact.
The governor reiterating his position that the coronavirus infection rate will not peak for another 3 weeks. He's called for the construction of more hospitals across the state to treat the sick and dying. The Pennsylvania Health Department confirming another 531 positive cases since just yesterday. And that brings the statewide total to over 2,200 in 50 counties. Governor Wolf says hospitals are feeling the pinch.
We know our hospitals will face capacity issues. We need more beds. We need more ventilators, more personal protective equipment, and so much more. And we need it as soon as possible because the virus is here.
The governor has ordered non-life-sustaining businesses to remain closed at least through April the 6th. Currently, there are 10 counties in the Commonwealth under stay-at-home orders. Overseas today,
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has tested positive for coronavirus. His aides say he has mild symptoms, will continue to perform his duties, and will self-isolate at his official Downing Street residence. Johnson was last seen in public last night, standing outside his front door, joining the nation in applauding Britain's health workers. Vicky Barker, London.
Correspondent Jim Krasula tells us about some unintended consequences from this pandemic.
More and more people are using toilet paper alternatives in the coronavirus pandemic. Paper towels, wipes, cloth, and more.
People are flushing things they should not flush.
Sarah Baumgartner with the Western Virginia Water Authority says more and more sewer lines are getting clogged.
We can have backups in your neighborhood, and we could have backups in your house, and we don't want that.
And you probably don't want that either.
Jim Krasula with that report. Police departments across this country are taking the lead role, it seems, in enforcing social distancing rules. In New York City, they've started dismantling basketball hoops to prevent people from playing pickup games. In Lakewood, New Jersey, police broke up a wedding that was held in violation of a ban on large gatherings, and in Austin, Texas, officers are encouraging people to call a hotline to snitch on violators of the city's stay-at-home order. A sign that maybe some of us are spending too much time together. Listen to this from Mark Mayfield.
Divorce rates in China are soaring after couples spent weeks together in isolation because of the coronavirus outbreak. One Chinese marriage registry manager said hundreds of couples have scheduled appointments in the past month. Other registration offices in China have seen an unprecedented spike in appointments since reopening on March the 1st.
Mark Mayfield reporting still to come on this Friday edition of the 5 o'clock report. Our Capital Connection crew weighs in on COVID-19. Kevin's got your weekend weather and a very special birthday party in Big Flats.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Our call for tonight, dry across the area this evening, but rain will come in late tonight in western Pennsylvania. Low temperatures, mostly in the 30s. For tomorrow, cloudy skies. Rain will overspread much of the region, but it won't reach central New York until evening. High temperatures mid-40s to the mid-50s. Rain and thunder tomorrow night. And Sunday, breezy and warmer. Variably cloudy with showers and a rumble. High temperatures 60s to near 70.
All right, Kevin Williams, have yourself a wonderful weekend. Checking the stories, making news where you live. As you might expect, coronavirus has complicated the work of state lawmakers in both Albany and Harrisburg. We wondered just how much is getting done in the midst of this ongoing national emergency. Here to weigh in, Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom. Is there anything at all happening in Albany, Jason? The budget deadline is fast approaching. Is the show going on there?
Well, you know, you're not seeing a lot of public activity at the Capitol. It's on lockdown, and even the lobbyists and the public are not allowed into the Capitol building. But there's a lot going on behind the scenes as members are negotiating with that anticipated $178 billion budget coming down the pike by April 1st. We are hearing that the governor is still trying to put policy into the state's fiscal plan, and we're working to try to keep things like recreational marijuana out of this year's budget.
Yeah, we got to remember that that's still in session, and that deadline's fast approaching. Despite where we are with our social distancing and shutdowns, lockdowns, quarantines, whatever you want to call it, Michael, there are a flurry of legislative bills being acted upon in Harrisburg. Most of it has to do with this COVID-19, but I'll ask you the same question. Has this pretty much paralyzed the work of state government?
Well, not entirely paralyzed. Obviously, the executive branch, the governor's office and the Department of Health, et cetera, are doing the work that it needs to do related to the COVID-19. With the legislative branch, they have passed legislation that allow them to meet remotely. Some members have to show up in the Capitol, but others can be doing it remotely. So there's an interesting sort of a image I saw of a Zoom meeting of the state senators yesterday acting on some legislation there. One of the things that they've done is to put off Pennsylvania's primary election from which was scheduled for April now is not going to happen until June.
Yeah. Wish I'd invested in Zoom stock because I have a feeling that's going to go through the roof here soon. But, Jason, it's a daily occurrence. You've got Governor Cuomo's press conferences, and then you've got the president's coronavirus task force taken to the mic. And it's every day we get these almost, it seems like, mixed messages. You're hearing one thing from President Trump in quite a different tone that you're getting from Governor Cuomo. And it's got a lot of people anxious, not knowing what to believe. Talk about that messaging problem that seems we're having in New York right now.
Yeah, you do. You see that inconsistency that's occurring. And frankly, I think there's a little politics that's going on, more than a little, with some of the different messaging. This is serious. There are concerns with coronavirus. In New York particularly, we're at the epicenter of this, and so we are seeing a different tone from Governor Cuomo than perhaps you're seeing from President Trump that's trying to calm the nation. So there's two different fronts, if you will, that are being fought, one more locally being felt more than the other. But let's not also forget that there is a political battle that's going on, and the governor is facing a likely $15 billion deficit in that budget that's due, and he is posturing to get as many dollars as he can out of the federal government. So while I think this is a serious problem, no doubt there's also some political rhetoric that's being employed to try to twist arms to get more dollars for the Empire State.
Yeah, and you know the governor knows he's got a national audience there at those daily press conferences, and he's taking full advantage of that. Governor Wolf as well, some have suggested that his emergency powers may have stepped over the line. There's litigation before the state Supreme Court on that front. He kind of moved first, even shutting down all the schools even before Governor Cuomo did. What are your thoughts, Michael, on the governor's emergency powers? Is he justified in taking the action that he's taken?
Well, justified in some respects, but it's been broad and sweeping in many respects in terms of the businesses that have been listed for closure. Dave Taylor, a friend of mine from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, described it as an eeny, meeny, miny, mo sort of list that didn't include some of the stakeholders that are involved. Just yesterday, I talked to a home builder who told me that his company was in the midst of rebuilding a home for someone whose home burned down, and they were nearing completion, trying to get it closed in so they could turn on the heat in there and protect the home and close it out, and the state police came by and shut them down, and he's having to appeal to the state government just to be able to finish that. When you think about the crowds that are going to grocery stores and others, a few workmen on a home site makes sense. and yet they're shut down from doing that.
Jason, you've sent out a letter to all of your supporters talking about the strategic moment that this pandemic presents the church. Explain a little bit what you mean by that.
Well, I think we're at an interesting moment in church history, in American church history, where the church needs to really just look up and say, what is God doing at this moment, and how can I align with that? You know, we have churches that only 2-3 weeks ago still were not live streaming. They were hesitant to get involved in online outreach, those types of things. And overnight, there's been a shift that has occurred. And now churches that were not online before are seeing 4 times or 5 times. I heard from one church that it is 20 times their viewership through their online services than were occurring on their Sunday morning services physically in the building. Now, I miss the fellowship of being with other believers, but I am thankful and grateful for the fact that there are people that are tuning in who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ that are seeing these types of devotions and messages across the web. God is doing something despite this, and believers need to ask themselves, what is it, and how can I be a part of that?
Yeah. You know, the president, Michael, likes to say the cure can't be worse than the disease, and to me, that's the one thing I look at is when we're Monday morning quarterbacking this, whenever that is, you begin to wonder, is there any silver lining here? Jason mentioned what's happening with the online churches and just the explosion. I've seen friends of mine who I never thought would come to a saving knowledge of Christ, and it's just amazing to see that. But you've had to cancel your March for Life, and was a huge event. Not cancel, postpone. You had to postpone that, which was huge. And you know, nobody wants to do these kinds of things. It's not American to shut down. But what would you say is the silver lining in this national emergency that we're all struggling through?
Well, number one, a lot of families are getting together and spend time together that they didn't have before. Moms and dads connecting with their children in ways that they haven't before. We're discovering things about each other. So that's one of the things. And then the other one that you just mentioned, Bob, through this crisis, people are coming much more into the reality of their own mortality. When you have a pandemic and you see death tolls, people start thinking about, where am I going to go? What happens if I die? Yeah. And that presents a wonderful opportunity for sharing the gospel and spreading the love and the opportunity that God gives for all to have eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Michael Gear with the Pennsylvania Family Institute, along with Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. You can hear them every Friday, by the way, on Capital Connection during our noon report.
Here's Rob West with today's Money Wise Minute. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us to take every thought captive to obey Christ. Paul is warning believers about false apostles who were spreading false ideas. Paul knew that what you think becomes what you believe and eventually what you do. God doesn't care about money, but he does care about how we think about it because that drives our actions. He gave us over 2,000 verses on money and possessions to guide our thinking and how we handle money. Those verses tell us God owns everything. We're to be humble stewards, content with his provision and without fear. We're also to be generous, giving back to God's kingdom. We can fall prey to the world's false ideas or learn from God the right and best way to manage money.
Hey, need some help getting started with this? Well, connect with a MoneyWise coach at our website, which is moneywise.org, moneywise.org.
This is the 5 o'clock report.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, the weekend is ahead, and we do have some rain coming in. Ahead of a warm front, we'll have rain late tonight, reach western Pennsylvania, overspread the rest of the region tomorrow night. Behind the front, though, temperatures will soar, and it'll feel like spring here Sunday, and there'll be enough dry time interspersed with showers and rumbles, maybe get a little outdoor activity in. Our call for tonight, dry across the area this evening, but rain will come in late tonight in western Pennsylvania. Low temperatures, mostly in the 30s. But tomorrow, cloudy skies. Rain will overspread much of the region, but it won't reach central New York until evening. High temperatures mid-40s to the mid-50s. Rain and thunder tomorrow night. And Sunday, breezy and warmer. Variably cloudy with showers and a rumble. High temperatures 60s to near 70.
All right. Thank you very much, Captain. Finally, 5. It was an unforgettable birthday yesterday for one very special Big Flats New York boy. Dominic Cardinal turned 13, and even though he couldn't celebrate in person with his friends, they lined up anyhow in a parade of cars by his house to still make his special day one to remember.
At first, I didn't know what it was, but like then I saw people sticking their heads out of the cars. And then they started giving me cards and stuff when they came back around.
Dominic tells WENY-TV.
It's pretty special because right now is a time where you can't see him. You can only talk to him virtually or digitally. So it's nice to see him, even though like you can't get close to him.
Dominic's mom says he'll remember his birthday for the rest of his life, not because of COVID-19, but because of that great group of friends in Big Flats, New York. And that's our world for Friday, March the 27th. Have a safe weekend. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.